Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing how the FBI just stopped a jihadist attack on a Jewish center. They just stopped it, as well as a new digital system unveiled in a secret meeting with bankers in New York. And is this possibly a prelude to the mark of the beast? They're talking about a cashless society, a digital dollar, all happening right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light.
It's going to be a physical battle. It's a physical battle. It's going to be on the ground.
God says things are going to get so bad soon that the draft is going to be reinstated in the United States of America.
I ask that the Congress declare a state of war.
Chuck Pierce said, he said that the moment the president made that declaration, that America is going to go back to the 60s. All the turmoil that America had in the 60s, and guess what? As soon as that was said, that America is going to go back to the 1960s. The 60s were horrific. John F. Kennedy, assassination of John F. Kennedy, you had the riots, we had Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you had the assassination of Senator Robert Kennedy. I mean, it was horrific. Everything started breaking apart in America.
The people of God, the church, the people of Israel always ignore the prophets, right? It's what we do.
Holy Spirit said this year will be a very unusual wind and an unusual year on many levels. A phrase will be repeated: I have never seen anything like this before.
Because the Lord is doing his best to wake up America one more time.
If my people, who are called by my name, will do these things, I'll heal their land. And he has always worked through a remnant.
The Lord said there's coming a great international harvest of souls through the internet and online. He said that the internet will light up as the Holy Spirit accelerates his mighty wonders. He also said that the net and lines will bring tremendous and miraculous provision to the body of Christ, because time is of the essence and the waters are abundant for harvest.
And the Lord said, I'm raising up
that we're called as one to be able to move in unity. And so, you know, where are you connected at? Where are you rightly related?
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
This is the place of defense, for this will be known as when the morning turned in America. I say to you, this will be the day that you bring the sun back to rising in this land. I say to you, I will surround this land, beginning here in the Gulf. Surround this land, and I will build a new wall of defense starting this night, saith the Lord.
It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in just a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. We're going to be talking today about a secret meeting reported by Bloomberg that occurred in New York in the headquarters of NASDAQ in Times Square. 100 executives from the world's largest financial institutions met, and they were discussing some blockchain technology we're going to share with you today, but also a pure digital dollar. You're not going to want to miss this program, because we're going to be talking about, could this be a prelude to the mark of the beast? You know, the beast is an economic system, And you're going to be surprised by what you find out. But before we do, I want to share with you what just took place in Miami. The FBI stopped a terrorist attack. A Muslim was trying to blow up a Jewish center in Miami. And the FBI did their job. They were able to stop it. No loss of life. Watch this.
The FBI has thwarted a terrorist plot to bomb a Jewish center in Miami. Police have charged 40-year-old James Medina with attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. Authorities say he converted to Islam about 4 years ago, and in court Monday, he told the judge his name is now James Muhammad. He reportedly planned an attack at a synagogue on a Jewish holiday by shooting attendees with an AK-47, but he later switched to the idea of a bomb. He tried to pick up that bomb from an FBI informant on Friday.
This guy come and won't kill people and children in the synagogue.
Kind of not surprised about it because he's threatened to shoot up a church before.
The would-be terrorist said he wanted to attack because, quote, I have a lot of love for Allah.
Listen, he wanted to attack because he said, I have a lot of love for Allah. Listen, we have to look at what's going on here, but I'm so grateful for the FBI doing their job and there was no loss of life. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking to you about this digital system, the secret meeting that just took place, reported by Bloomberg News, with over 100 executives of the largest financial institutions in the world, a pure digital dollar. All that happening and so much more. We'll see you in a few minutes.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for matures. And as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. Sign up today.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings, and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Steve, a cashless society, is this where we're headed to? Listen,
a little bit concerning.
Hey, we've got to pay attention. Yeah. I mean, secret meetings. This is reported by Bloomberg News that over 100 executives gathered in NASDAQ headquarters in Times Square. I've been there, not at the headquarters, but, you know, out in the street there, right, above the building. But man, check this out. So 100 of them, they all get together, and in this meeting, as is being reported by Bloomberg, and why this is important, because we're talking about, man, are we getting closer to the mark of the beast? The Bible talks about in Revelation 13. I mean, here we are, that the beast, it's a beast economy, it's an economic system, and we're going to be sharing. Listen, you can't buy or sell without it. And they're talking about converting, because you think right now that what you're doing when you're spending electronically with your debit, we think that's digital, a pure digital dollar, but it really isn't, because there is a lag in time with this new technology. In fact, this is what the article says. While cash in bank accounts moves electronically all the time today, there's a distinction between that system and what it means to say money is digital. Electronic payments are really just messages that cash needs to be moved from one account to another. And this reconciliation is what adds time to the payment process. So the banks are, they're like a middleman. And what happens is that although when you're making transactions or you're moving money from one account, it may show up there on your computer screen. It's not actually sometimes there as fast. There's a lag in time. Some reports are that it can save some of the banking institutions like $20 billion. But what happens is that this money now, instead of a ledger being moved and then the money following or the transaction being made and then it being completed, you know, days later, this is going to be absolutely instantaneously.
Wow.
And they're using this technology called blockchain, software, which is being used right now for the Bitcoin, you know, thing that they got going on. Another currency that's not regulated basically removes the banking system. The banking system is the third party involved that helps making this transaction. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the banks are realizing we need to maybe get in this game or we're going to be sidelined potentially. Who knows? But we are rapidly moving to a place where every single thing is going to be electronically governed. I mean, we're talking about the Internet of Things. We're going to be talking today. We're going to show you a chip that people are putting in their fingers, in their hands to answer their telephones, to unlock their doors, to spend money. And you don't even need a surgeon. The local tattoo piercing artists, they're the ones doing it. I mean, it's not regulated. Where are we going with all of this? Not to mention all the – I was watching something on the robotic zone. They're making these artificial intelligent robots, and we've shared some of this with you on VFN TV, to look so natural and so real that now there are concerns that if they continue on this development of technology – this could psychologically scar children because they're so real. They don't know if they're interacting. They wouldn't know if they're interacting with the real person or with a robot. I mean, some of this technology is showing facial expressions that are amazing. They're programming their faces to be surprised, to be angry, to be confused. And where are we going? And so we got to get a pulse. We got to find out what's going on. But it's this blockchain technology. It's this new software. And they released it. And this is the reports are. In fact, we'll have it for you. But they actually, demonstrated this for these executives. And so you got to wonder, like, what's being planned? I want you to see what this block technology is all about and what they're looking to bring into fruition really soon. Watch this.
Modern technology allows people to communicate directly. Voice and video calls, emails, pictures, and instant messages travel directly from A to B, maintaining trust between individuals no matter how far apart they are. When it comes to money, people have to trust a third party to be able to complete a transaction. Blockchain technology is challenging the status quo in a radical way. By using math and cryptography, blockchain provides an open, decentralized database of any transaction involving value, money, goods, property, work, or even votes, creating a record whose authenticity can be verified by the entire community. The future global economy will move towards one of distributed property and trust, where anyone with access to the internet can get involved in blockchain-based transactions, and third-party trust organizations may no longer be necessary. The uses of blockchain technology are endless. Some expect that in less than 10 years, it will be used to collect taxes. It will make it easier for immigrants to send money back to countries where access to financial institutions is limited. Financial fraud will be significantly reduced, as every transaction will be recorded on a public and distributed ledger, which will be accessible by anyone who has an internet connection. Think of it as wills and contracts that execute themselves, or dated proof of existence for ideas, much like a patent. Blockchain will become a global, decentralized source of trust, but not everyone is ready to embrace it. A huge proportion of trust services, from banking to notaries, will face challenges on price, volume, and in some cases, their very survival. Public authorities could find it more and more difficult to enforce traditional financial regulations due to the new possibilities offered by the Bitcoin network to bypass traditional financial intermediaries. unimagined new networks will evolve to meet society's needs more cheaply and potentially more securely. Will governments, financial and legal institutions embrace blockchain? What will happen to the ones who don't?
The world is rapidly advancing. So this blockchain technology is basically a digital ledger in the cloud where everyone sees this transactions happening, instantaneously. And so Mark West is chief technology officer for Fiserv. He says, we created a digital dollar to show the group at NASDAQ that an instant debit and credit on the blockchain can work instantaneously. So as soon as they made the transaction across all these platforms, it was immediately done. And so, that opens everything up for hackers. It just opens up a world of unknown possibilities. But also, again, it's like a few people controlling the world. It's like whoever controls the world. Follow the money. Whoever controls the money is wanting to control everything. And so these are things to think about, to pray about, to be alert about, and to understand that, listen, we don't have to be alarmed. We're operating under a different economic system. If you are honoring the Lord with your tithes and offerings, this is kingdom finances. You want that God has his own economy. But you can see that the systems of this world, they're trying to do everything that they can, for this beast economy to emerge. I want you to see what's happening in China, because they're incorporating with all this technology like social media, Facebook, and all these websites that allow you to interact with people all over the world. What's happening in China now is they're combining social networking with basically government allegiance. It's a monitoring system. So everyone's putting up all their information online, not knowing that all this information is shared, it's exposed. Look at Sesame Credit and see what's happening. This is already being done in China. Mm-hmm. Watch this.
Okay, so one of you recently brought this to our attention, and when we first started looking into it, we couldn't believe it. Even now, looking at this, I keep thinking that there's gotta be something about this that I just don't understand. Like, I must be reading this wrong. It's just so clearly something out of dystopian science fiction, and yet, here it is in our world, and people are actually embracing it. Apparently, China has gamified being an obedient citizen. Going under the innocuous name of Sesame Credit, China has created a score for how good a citizen you are. And that's one of the scariest things I've heard in quite a while. It's jointly run by Tencent. Yes, that Tencent, the one that owns Riot Games and has a significant share in Epic and Activision Blizzard, and also the ascendant Chinese competitor to Amazon, Alibaba, hence the name Sesame. So the owners of China's largest social networks have partnered with the government to create something akin to the U.S. credit score. But instead of measuring how regularly you pay your bills, it measures how obediently you follow the party line. They dredge data from your social network, so if you post pictures of Tiananmen Square or share a link about the recent stock market collapse, your Sesame credit score goes down. Share a link from the state-sponsored news agency about how good the economy's doing, and your score goes up. But Alibaba and Tencent are also the largest online retailers in China, so Sesame Credit is also able to pull data from your purchases. If you're making purchases the state deems valuable, like work shoes or local agricultural products, your score goes up. If you import anime from Japan, though, down the score goes. And this score has real-world consequences. Like many games, Sesame Credit has tiers and levels, and having a high score gives you special benefits, like making it easier to get the paperwork you need to travel, or making it easier to get a loan. Now, currently, there are no consequences for having a low score, but there's been talk about implementing penalties once the system becomes mandatory in 2020. Penalties like slower internet speeds for low-scoring citizens, or even restricting the jobs that a low-scoring person's allowed to hold. But there's one more layer to Sesame Credit, and here's where this goes from being repulsive to downright insidious. Because this is all part of a social network, it also scans your friends. So you will lose points for having friends with low obedience scores. And it tells you this. At any point, anybody can check anyone else's score. And when you check your own score, Sesame Credit provides a handy map of your friends to show you who's dragging your score down. Have you ever had that thing where you play a game with somebody who wasn't doing very well, and you've tried to change their behavior to make them do better? Or maybe after a while, you just sort of stopped playing with the people who were holding you back? That's at the heart of how this system works. And it's also what makes this one of the most terrifying tools of authoritarian oppression I've ever read about. Because, like, mass censorship, jail time, assassinations, those are all big, messy implements for keeping a population in line. That messiness and severity foster resentment, eventually rebellion. They're expensive, they're unwieldy. In the end, those tools are impossible to maintain. But social pressure? Ostracization? Those things are free. They happen on their own. And as a government tool, they don't have nearly the same potential for going embarrassingly, disastrously wrong. With a system like this in place, a government doesn't even have to tell neighbor to spy on neighbor, to rat each other out. Because that's all built into a seemingly innocuous game system. The government need not step in. Re-education will be handled for them by friends, classmates, and relatives who want to maintain a high score. And if that doesn't work, then potentially dangerous ideas still end up quarantined by the social isolation this game system causes. Express or help to spread too many radical ideas, and people will stop associating with you. And not because some jackbooted thug showed up at the door with threats, but simply because associating with somebody with those ideas will lose them all the privileges they've worked so hard to obtain. It recontextualizes obedience to an authoritarian regime. In the past, you obeyed such powers because you were afraid. Fear kept you motivated. But fear is negative. It fosters resentment. The world we're stepping into instead uses positive reinforcement to promote being subservient to the will of the regime. It's Big Brother's kinder, gentler hand. And the things that make this scary is that we've seen the efficacy of this only too well in games. You may not actually know this, but when World of Warcraft was in its early stages of development, it had an unrested penalty mechanic that started limiting experience gains for players who had played too much. And players hated it. They resented it, and they complained about it every day. So, after brainstorming on this for a while, Blizzard had the idea to simply change how the mechanic was presented. Without changing any of the existing numbers or systems, they started referring to the unrested experience penalty state as normal and made it the default. And they started calling the original normal experience gain state as rested. That's all they changed, and everybody loved it. People would log on every day just to get that bonus. Positive reinforcement works wonders. But unlike World of Warcraft, which built a system just to get people to embrace meaningless grinding, Sesame Credit has built a system to get people to enjoy falling into line. Now, the system's not mandatory yet. It's opt-in right now. But it's going to be mandatory in 2020, and there's a terrible brilliance to phasing that in. The early adopters are going to be people excited about this system, people who are already patriotic and are eager for anything that'll help display that patriotism to the world. And as early adopters, they're going to talk it up. They're going to give it an air of being positive and fun. Then it'll be foisted on the society as a whole. More than that, though, the early adopters are going to compete. Already, you can see hundreds of thousands of tweets displaying people's high scores or showing off the new milestones they've hit, giving hard numbers to their patriotism and giving them bragging rights for being the most patriotic, most right-thinking person they know. And that's gonna set the tone for how Sesame Credit is intended to be used, as a competition to see who can agree with the government the most. We've talked about propaganda games on this channel before, but for all the time we've spent examining and deconstructing terrible games that espouse hate, and for all the studies on propaganda games James has done, this is the use of game systems that frightens me the most. Because to most people, Sesame Credit will seem benign, perhaps even fun. It's a conversation starter, something to share with your friends. But it's making heavy use of all the psychological motivators that we game makers deploy in scoring systems and ladders and levels, systems that we build to shape play habits and to keep people coming back. Like I said, I'm still kind of in a state of disbelief looking at this. If any of you are watching this from China, please tell me if I'm misunderstanding this thing, because I would love to be wrong about it. If not, well, I hope this episode can do some small amount to help the fight to keep such a system from becoming mandatory. For everyone in the rest of the world, I hope this helps remind us all how important it is to be aware and to be vigilant. All of these gamification techniques we've learned through making games offer incredible opportunities for making this world a better, more engaging place. But every great tool carries with it the potential for misuse. And it's on us, as a community who understands this amazing new medium, to do what we can to stop.
This is all about control.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Snyder writes in his blog, this is what he says. This is why this is so alarming. We're talking about this cashless society and this now social media type of control is happening in China. And it just takes one – I mean, this is a nation that has 1 billion people. And You get 1 million people doing this. It's very easy for the other 6 billion people on the face of the earth to catch on. But this is why he says this is so alarming, because they're seeing major moves toward a cashless system all over the planet. In Sweden, 95% of all retail transactions are already cashless. 95%. And ATM machines are being removed by the hundreds. In Denmark, government officials actually have stated a goal of eradicating cash by 2030. See, cash can't be regulated. You know, you don't know when cash has been exchanged. But if everything is done digitally, they know every single dollar you're spending, where you're spending it, to whom you're spending it, and why are you giving to this church, and how much. They know it all. Think about this. In Norway, the biggest bank in the country has publicly called for the complete elimination of cash. This is what's happening in Europe and in Spain. This is what's happening in these other places. Right now, over $2,500 in euro. If you can spend any $2,500, it's banned in Italy and in Spain. You can't spend any more than $2,500. Listen, when we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about this convergence. I mean, you're talking about a cashless society. You're talking about control through social media. And now they're putting implants in their bodies, digital chips that are able to access everything electronically. This is going somewhere. You don't want to miss it. But before we go to this break, I do want to talk to you about our special offer. Listen, it's available for you with your partnership. Become a VFN TV partner today. Stand with us. And this partnership is for you. For any amount, it's yours. Check this out.
The offer that we have for you is History of Past Moves of God and the Keys to the Present Move of God. It is amazing what took place in a previous gathering at the VFN Dream Center. You have to hear this as we spoke about the history of past moves of God and the key to what had to take place in regards to what happened right before the move of God took place. This is the offer for you this time. It is offered 2005 for your partnership of any amount. It is History of Past Moves of God and the Key to a Present Day Move of God. It's going to encourage you. It's going to inform you. It's going to inspire you and help you do what's required to be a part of what God's doing. Your partnership for any amount, it's yours. Become a partner at VFNTV.com. Go into VFNTV.com, click on Partner Now, and follow the prompts. Or you can write to us at VFNTV, 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Or you can even call us toll-free at 844-408-3688. Become a partner today.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Do public schools have to accommodate the religious views of a student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Friends of mine have taken their elementary school child out of school for 4 days to a Bible conference they go to. They do this about twice a year, sometimes just once. Well, a new principal has come into their school who refused to excuse it. However, the principal who just retired did excuse her last year. And so they just don't know how to proceed or if the school has to excuse the child.
Well, I think the answer is they have to accommodate the sincerely held religious beliefs of the parents with respect to the child. They must accommodate them. And we'd be happy to talk with the school administration and clarify this, but it sounds like a lot of confusion since they're letting one group go ahead and do it and the other they're not. There may just be some real confusion here, and we'll be happy to help. But again, the school's obligation legally is to accommodate the parents' sincerely held religious beliefs.
Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt, is there any doubt in your mind, if we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God,
We repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth. We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about this convergence, Steve, of cashless society.
Yeah.
We're talking about social media. We're talking about how Europe wants to eradicate
cash. Yeah, removing ATMs by the hundreds.
Think about that.
Yeah.
So if you can't, if they don't know what, you know, the cash is moving all the time, you know, people don't know what you're buying. That's, you know, you're entitled to whatever privacy. But if you take that away and every single thing that you're purchasing is electronically, there is electronic digital footprint. And it's like, not everyone needs to know what you're spending your money on, you know?
And a lot of times, too, it's like we don't see just the urgency of this, but just by simply just rewinding a few generations, we can see when they implemented the credit card, it was just, that was a huge development. And now to walk around into a store and have cash, that's a surprise. And it's just like we have to see the connections of how rapidly this is happening. And the very fact that, you know, we were talking about during the break is just, the fact that this is being implemented and you have leaders in the financial industry talking about what do we need to do to make this a reality, that in itself is concerning enough. And I'm even reminded about one of the prophetic words that John Paul Jackson said is, have the ability to show proof that you paid for what you paid for. Have the physical notes from whether it was previous checks, whether it was a bill that you paid your mortgage, be able to prove that you paid for what you paid for.
That's important. That's very important because he released that in the prophetic a word called the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, there are thoughts that the internet can go completely down and that it will be rebooted. But when it reboots, it's going to be something completely different. And the responsibility is going to be on you to prove that, you've been paying your mortgage.
That's right.
Yes, you paid your power bill. Yeah, you paid that credit card off. But if you can't prove it, and that's the whole thing, you know, everything they ask you, well, do you want an electronic bill? You know, no, send me the paper bill.
Yeah.
You know, send me the paper.
Don't do automatic. You know, banks can make mistakes too.
Well, what happens is that if everything is electronic, you don't have any printed material, then you lost your ability to be able to prove that it indeed has been paid. And so you got to be careful about these things. Well, there's a recent poll that just came out about this microchip. They're calling it a biohacking, and it is the implanting of a microchip into the human body. This gentleman by the name of Tim Shank has 4 of them in his body already. You've got, you know, we thought it was a good idea to put a chip inside the dog because in case you lost the dog.
In the name of security.
You know, we can find the dog again. And before you know it, they're going to have you wanting to put a chip in your child. I mean, this man has 4 chips in his body already. And everything's about convenience and technology. You know, I remember when all these electronic devices started coming out, you know, 15 years ago with Palm Pilots and being able to exchange information through infrared lights you know, they said you're going to be able to exchange money just by connecting phones. Well, I mean, with your iPhone now, I mean, if you could put your certain credit cards on there, you can actually make payments now with your phone. Well, we're getting closer and closer to a chip, a mark of the beast, something that without it, you will not be able to. And we're talking about a system. I mean, the system has to be set up first. And then the chip, it just helps to facilitate that if it's going to be a chip, whatever it's going to be, you know, I don't know. But the system is being set up. But once you receive that mark, then you're going to be able to, you know, and you don't want to receive the mark. Don't receive it. But I want you to see what happens to Tim Shank and how this technology is being utilized right now, this biohacking chip being implanted. Watch this.
It is something you've likely seen in the movies.
Yeah, but it's also happening in real life. People are getting chips implanted in their hands and other places to make daily life a little easier. From opening doors to sending emails, a growing group is all in on the technology. Tonight, Susan Elizabeth Littlefield shows us how some people in the Twin Cities are embracing the extra personal technology that is turning them into human remote controls.
I can carry nearly 80 gigs of data in my head, 160 if I use a Dublin.
A computer!
Where'd you want to do that?
Set in the far-off year of 2021, this is the 1995 film. Johnny Mnemonic.
I need a Synologic 16.
Password and
one of several films that caught the attention of a boy growing up in Richfield.
Well, a little boy didn't like sci-fi. Yeah, I love sci-fi. Star Wars and, I mean, all the way through it.
And thus, a passion was born.
That, to me, is a very inspiring concept. That we can be more than we're built to be. That's really where a lot of my passion comes, because there are so many limitations and conditions that we have as people that we can overcome if we put a little energy into it and a little technology.
That fearless quest is how the software engineer ended up with a scalpel in front of him and ice by his side.
We'll put the implant, we'll take it out of this device and put it in here.
He's already got several chip implants. Now he's getting another.
This is an NFC chip, so it's similar to what phones have nowadays, where you can tap them to sometimes stickers or keychains. It's the same technology as that uses.
Despite the equipment used.
Literally lift a little tiny pocket of tissue with an elevator.
Implants aren't done by doctors or nurses. The go-to in the Twin Cities is a body piercer named Verno.
I'm humbled by it. I'm humbled that anybody would even be interested in having us do that.
Chip makers who sell their products online are relying on piercing artists like Verno to implant the right size technology. He's done about 7 similar procedures.
There is the chip.
There's really not much to it.
Without flinching, Tim endured 6 stitches without anesthesia. Verno's not allowed to use it in the state of Minnesota. But the pain, Tim says, is for gain.
I don't know. Is that 3? 6? All right. I love this, actually.
This chip will soon act like the 3 others he has, the ones he uses at his crystal home. The chip in his wrist clears his daily path.
So that unlocks my door.
Operates his computer and phone.
And it turned off my ringer.
And if he has his way, it will do much more.
I'm hoping that this will make it possible for me not to have to carry a wallet or credit cards or keys.
Okay.
And he's in good company talking about things like that.
Keys are dumb. It's just not my nature anymore to check keys.
Tim and his wife, who also has a chip, host regular happy hours in Roseville for people interested in biohacking, using the human body to experiment.
The home automation thing, that's really where I've been spending all my time.
But experiments come with risk, if you ask this artificial intelligence expert from the U.
As far as I know, nobody knows the long-term health implications of those things, so I'll never do it myself.
She says the advantage is that because they transmit at close range, unlike cell phones, it would be hard for people to steal information and track people from a chip. She says there is an appeal, but she's not convinced it will ever be universal.
It would be more likely at some point, maybe your smart watch that, you know, is outside your body, then can have, you know, ways to unlock your house, your telephone and everything, but it's not inside your body.
But Tim, whose dogs are also microchipped with information,
the whole family's chipped,
says he's not worried.
There she goes.
And this is the future.
I do. I think every indication is that we're all moving closer and closer to internalizing our technology.
No, I'm going to try something else.
A science fiction fan who says you don't have to be born smart to become intelligent.
Come on, let me in!
You don't have to be born smart to be intelligent. I mean, what's going on where, listen, we're going someplace in a society where people want all of this information. And we talked to you on this program about Ray Kurzweil. And they already have chips that they're putting in the brain, the ability to connect your brain to the internet so you can access the cloud computer and have information in your brain. Not learned information, not wisdom, but just information.
Well, you've been thinking about this, and it's just like you're hearing people say that, you know, we can be smarter with a little bit of technology. And it's just like we have to remind ourselves, it's just like we are created and fashioned in the image of God. And it's like you can't get more awesome than that. And it's just like, how can you try to better God? How can you try to make yourself more have greater abilities than what God has already given you? And it's like you can't modify that.
Bible says that, you know, if you're a new creation in Christ, if you receive the Lord as your Savior, you're a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the new creation is the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And so the Holy Spirit will speak to you and he'll share with you and reveal to you and guide you and instruct you, but he will make known to you, he'll remind you of what Jesus has taught you in his word. And so it's like the world is trying to do everything it can to duplicate the amazing creation that you are, the new creation in Christ, if you're a believer. And it's so important that for the sake of convenience, that no one is deceived to say, oh yeah, give me that. No, I don't want that in me, on me, around me. And no, get that needle away from me. But these are the days we're living in. Listen, we need to stay alert. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking about what is currently happening in Venezuela. They have gone to a five-day weekend. Nope, it's not because they're prosperous. In fact, it's because they are absolutely struggling on the verge of collapse and chaos. Join us when we get right back from this break.
TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day
our daily bread.
Forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those
who sin against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory,
forever.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size, a gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too, to say thank you. And there's specials that we have for you. And then green room, there's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air, and we just put that, you know, in the green room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says: when you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on partner now. We need you to stand with us.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is what Revelation 13:16 says. It says, it all forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of men. That number is 666. Listen, don't, on your head or on your hand, you know, go to 2252. You got to see this. I mean, literally there was a chip in his pinky, in his pinky. I don't know if this is the, I don't know that, but I do know this. We are getting close, and we want to be watchful. We want to be prayerful, and we don't want to, you know, compromise anything. The truth, just because of convenience. Mm-hmm. You know, we said before the break, look what's happening in, you know, they're trying to control people. They're trying to control cash. But look what happens to a society that's crashing. And it's important for us, you know, if you're living in the United States, no matter what your economic situation is, you are blessed compared to so many people around the face of the world. And what the enemy would want you to do is to get so caught up in a pity party about what you don't have instead of thanking God for what you do have. And I'm telling you, we add our miseries on an adding machine. Mm-hmm. But we count God's blessings on our hand.
Shouldn't be that way.
No, it should be the other way around. Because right now in Venezuela, this country is crashing. The Washington Post just came out with a new article. And we shared with you on this program that, listen, they just went to a five-day weekend. 5 days. Why? Because they couldn't afford electricity.
Right.
Think about this. This is huge. They can't afford toilet paper. They have people standing in lines for food, and we're complaining.
Mm-hmm. Well, it shares that that perspective, because you see, it's just like how volatile it is, and how quickly God can just simply remove His hand and just realize the fact that we can be in that situation just as Venezuela is experiencing it right now.
Listen, I mean, if people really only knew how fragile the, mm-hmm. the economic system is right now. I mean, how many times was Greece on the verge of being the first domino in this chain of economic, you know, fallout. And they were being bailed out. You have Puerto Rico just defaulting on $422 million payment. You have all of these, you know, Spain, their conditions. They have people that were living in abandoned homes for years now. And you have Venezuela happening. And we just keep going like it's no big deal. Well, listen, I want you to see firsthand what happens when you're, listen, there's one thing about, you know, not being able to get an iPhone, and it's another thing not being able to get a new pair of Nikes. But when you have children that you can't feed, when you're not hungry, even good people begin to start doing some crazy things. Watch this.
It's becoming an increasingly familiar sight. A store broken open, covered in debris left by looters. It comes as Venezuela grapples with widespread shortages. This store owner, Jose Vega, says the police have been of little help.
We arrived here at 9:30 p.m. The police were still here, circling around. And what did they do? Nothing.
While security is tightened, the anger persists. Venezuela's opposition launched a petition to remove President Nicolas Maduro over the economic crisis. The Congress ordered the food minister to be sacked over shortages. It's a political move that may be ignored, but the ongoing shortages are likely to keep the pressure on until there's some relief.
Now get this, this is a nation that has the largest oil reserve in the world. They have more oil, you know, than Saudi Arabia, and yet because of mismanagement, they had a dictator, Hugo Chavez, who you know, he died of cancer. But I mean, this is not good. They said that reportedly he's stolen money, and there was a huge mismanagement of funds. But you're seeing a downward spiral. It doesn't matter how much you have, because if you can't control the spending, if your finances are under a curse, if you know, you mismanage what you have, you can never, you know, survive. Too many holes in the bucket. Doesn't matter what's going in, it's all coming out the back end. And now you have people that they're not worried about electronics, Steve. They're not worried about, you know, summer's coming, and they're not crying because they're not going on vacation. They're concerned that they're not going to be able to eat. And that gets real. I mean, when really was the last time that you went hungry? I'm not talking about, you know, you didn't get a snack. You didn't get, you know, to go out to eat and get a nice steak. I'm talking about when you did not eat. And I understand that there could be people right now that are going through, you know, hard situations. But I'm talking about en masse, and I'm talking about a consistent basis. I want you to see what they're doing right now in Venezuela in many, many of the homes. Watch this.
Ana Perez is doing what she can. Like scores of others in Venezuela, she is struggling to put food on the table.
If we have lunch, we don't have dinner. If we have dinner, we don't have lunch. Sometimes we go to bed without eating, with a glass of water. You can withstand that, but the children can't stand it. But when there is no food, we have to put them to bed like that, drinking water. But the children cry.
And it's not just the price of food. Getting it is becoming increasingly difficult in the OPEC country that is home to some 30 million people. A recent survey by universities often critical of the government found that 87% of the respondents said they didn't make enough money to buy food. In parts of the country, stores are being ripped open, victims of mass looting. Scores are arrested for stealing food and soap. Foes are stepping up pressure to recall President Nicolas Maduro. He's fighting back, implementing a temporary 2-day work week for government workers. He's not cutting their pay. He's hoping to save energy costs. It's a growing crisis, with more people eating less while waiting for answers.
Think about that. Being arrested for buying soap.
Yeah. And you've got people breaking into grocery stores. It's just like you're seeing the symptoms increasing. You're seeing the very things that were prophesied that were going to happen. I'm even reminded some of the headlines that John Paul Jackson had said was food prices lead nations escalating inflation woes. Another one is Cisco Company and Kraft considers guards on delivery trucks as food nears 40% of the family budget.
Right. And I believe those numbers were for the United States, but imagine the nations of the world. Mm-hmm. Listen, we have to return to having a heart of gratitude, and we can begin to start thanking God for what we have today. Listen, we want to pray with you. We ask you to please pray for us. Steve, would you close us out?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that you are still in control, Lord. You have everything in awareness of what is happening, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, for that grace, God, that we would turn our eyes, Lord, from just the kingdoms of the world, and our eyes would be focused on the kingdoms of heaven, God, that you control everything in this world. Lord, we ask you, God, to give us wisdom, Lord, to make the needed decisions in this hour, in this season, help others to make the needed decisions. Lord, forgive the abortion in this land. Pour out a third great awakening, Lord, and send revival, God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you, and thank you for watching. And, of course, you can always find out more at VFNTV.com. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion may put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their Father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything.
But it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.